praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades, and in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the United States. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. Much of his speaking has since been published as more than 400 titles, many of which have been translated into numerous foreign languages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. In the varied history of the nation of Israel that's recorded in the book of Judges, we have, of course, the interesting and well-known story of Samson. Endued with the power of the Spirit, he was mighty and fierce in his struggle against Israel's enemies, the Philistines. But he had a very specific failure that gave Satan, God's real enemy, the ground to tempt him and ultimately defeat him. Of course, the beautiful Philistine woman Delilah typifies this failure. Samson's indulgence of the lust of his flesh led to his downfall. The story of Samson and the warning that we as God's people today must take from this case is our topic on this Life Study of the Bible. Francis Ball has joined us once again. Francis, we have a sober word today, and I think it's appropriate that you would be here. I would say a mature and somewhat grandfatherly word to confirm what we're going to hear is probably the Lord's arrangement.
Well, we certainly hope this will be a big help to all of God's people, and to see the story of Samson coming to such an end should give us a real warning just by reading the story itself. But to hear this message, I think, would be a big help getting some word from Brother Lee and in this ministry.
At this time in the training that he was giving, or the conference on these messages from the book of Judges, he limited his speaking to, I would say, just his somewhat inward burden about the portion that was being covered. And we don't hear him speaking on a point-by-point basis or covering all of the verses in a specific orderly way. Rather, he is speaking really from his heart here, from his spirit, what the Lord had impressed him with, that he was quite intent that those hearing his message would receive. And I think that comes out very much. We won't have a lot of detail about the story of Samson. We'll read a few of the verses. I think the story is fairly well known among most Christians. Certainly it's an oft-told Sunday school story, but the message, the intrinsic point here is the one that we want to focus on today, don't we?
Yes, we're not interested in the way Hollywood has portrayed this story,
right?
But we're interested in what the lesson is from the Scriptures.
Let's pick up a few verses at the beginning. If you're following along in your own Bible, this account is in Judges chapters 13 through 16. Just a few verses at the beginning of chapter 13 here, somewhat to introduce Samson to us and those who may not be so familiar. "Then the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and Jehovah delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Now you are barren and have borne no children, but you will conceive and bear a son. And now be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy will be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he will begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines.'" Francis, for those who've not encountered this point before, say a bit about what it was to be a Nazarite and the significance of Samson being born a Nazarite under this vow.
Well, the Nazarite vow is very, very protective, I would say, and restrictive for anyone who wants to really serve the Lord. And some of the things that were required of the Nazarite, for example, A Nazarite was not to shave his head, not to cut his hair. But I don't think that means not to get a haircut. It means not to shave his head. The hair is a sign of being under headship. You know, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, about a woman having a head covering, that indicates that she's under the headship of her husband.
Right.
And that whole chapter is not a matter of just head covering. It's a matter of headship. So one of the requirements of a Nazarite was to realize and recognize who was really his head, that he's under the headship of God. And then he was not to drink wine or strong drink or even eat grapes. It seems kind of strange that these kind of requirements were there, but they have a significance that we're not to be indulging ourselves in things that would make us not reasonable and not clear in our thinking and clear in our consecration. And many of these things are in that Nazarite consecration.
Yeah, I think that just to quickly now recap the story, because as I said, this program is really not devoted to the details of the story, but we see Samson who grows up in this kind of consecrated situation and it really fulfilling all of these requirements of the Nazarite vow, and his head has not been shaved, and of course his hair represents his strength, which is really what the Lord had provided him in using him to deliver the nation of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And as a young man, he goes down and has an encounter with a lion where he's able to tear him apart with his bare hands, and of course the mighty things that are always attributed to Samson. I think we know that part. But the flaw here, the failure that catches him, is his indulgence in the lust of the flesh. And it's expressed in several places, really, in this passage of three or four chapters, not just with Delilah. There were other instances that pointed to this as what would be his ultimate downfall. So with that, let's go ahead and join Witness Lee as we touch the burden of an old dear brother in the Lord who was very, very burdened for all of the people of God, and particularly the young people, and he addresses much of this message to them. Let's join him for that.
Now, we're coming to the end. It ends with this judge, Samson. Samson was born by miracle of God. And in the bosom of his mother, he was sanctified to be a Nazarite. No wine, no unclean food. The air has been always there. No cutting. These few points are the characteristics of one being a Nazarite. To keep the hair, not cut it, it indicates that I am under God's power. God is my authority. God is my glory. He was such a person. Not to drink wine, that means not to partake any kind of worldly pleasure. No entertainment, no worldly pleasures, and then not to eat unclean food. That is to keep yourself so clean, so pure, according to God's ordination. And he was growing up in this kind of atmosphere. Then the Spirit of God came to him. He got empowered. And at that time, the Israelites were under the Philistines. And no one can do anything to rescue them. But out of a sudden, a young man came up, and he became powerful, not powerful by anything human, but powerful by God. The Spirit of God was upon him, and he was under that holy economical spirit. But the biggest problem with him, the unique problem with this, is the matter of sex. Wherever he was, he loved a female. I had no thought that he was genuine in seeking a spouse. He was just seeking a vessel to indulge his lust. Eventually, he was indulging his lust with a Philistine girl. he was terminated and discharged to the uttermost by her.
Francis, in chapter 14, Samson first takes a wife from among the Philistines. Then in chapter 16, at the beginning of the chapter, we see really this problem is intensified, is magnified. Verse 1 in chapter 16, and Samson went down to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot and went unto her. And then in verse 4, and then after this, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Real weakness here, obviously. We saw a similar pattern in another one of the people that God had raised up to lead Israel during this period of time, and that was Gideon, who also had a problem with lust of the flesh, having 72 children and obviously many concubines, and that led to also to his work being somewhat annulled. So there is a real sober and strong warning here for the people of God, isn't there?
There certainly is, and such a warning that we really need to pay attention to in these days, and we would encourage all the young people especially, but it's not just youth, but even through our whole life we need to be aware of the dangers that these kind of lustful things present to anyone who would serve the Lord. We all need to be those that come under a Nazirite vow and have the willingness to be adjusted by the Lord so that we don't fall into anything that would make us useless.
It seems when we read this portion, this first wife that he selected from the Philistines, the Lord allowed that, somewhat tolerated that, and even felt there's some indication that that could be used by the Lord in his leading Samson to fight against the Philistines, to be, you know, have a close relationship with one among them. But by the time we get to Delilah, we're well past that point. And of course, we all know the story that eventually he divulges the secret of his strength and power, which is his hair, and it's cut off, and he's defeated, and ends in a very, very tragic and pitiful way, actually, after having so many victories associated with his strength and presence. But his end was really undone, wasn't it, by this failure?
Yes, it was. And because of this failure, the drawing of the sexual lust that really led him into this kind of situation, he was still able to defeat the Philistines, but it cost him his life and it cost him his honor to God.
Yeah.
So he really came to a sad end through this very temptation of the enemy.
Well, you mentioned Witness Lee's own testimony of the help that he received from Watchman Nee. Let's go to a portion where he talks about that encounter back in 1933.
1933, I went to Shanghai purposely to see Brother Nee. I was very happy, and he was also happy. He took me as his long-term guest. You know, I was learning. We had a lot of time to fellowship. So I went nearly every day. One day, when I got to his home, he sat down with me. All of a sudden, he said, "Witness, you serve the Lord. You have to learn one lesson. How to face the males. Sorry, how to face the females." "What is this?" I said, "What is this?" So he kept telling me, "In principle, you shouldn't talk with a female, especially a young one. You must have a third person sitting with you." I never heard such an instruction. "And your contact should not be in the room, windows, doors all closed. You have to keep doors open." I said, "What is this? I got married already. By that time, I had 3 children." I was surprised, but I got deeply impressed. That became my help. So when I set up the office here, I gave the office working people a strong instruction: you shouldn't have talk between male and female in a private room. I appreciate what Brother Nee said to me. It was real help. So from that time of my youth, I worked for the Lord. I met many people. On the one hand, I surely practiced what Brother Nee instructed me. and I also carry out the same instruction to the co-workers.
Well, here's his testimony, a young worker in the Lord, but married with three children and living in a very respectable way, but now he's given this very specific instruction by Watchman Nee. Talk about the things that Watchman Nee touched in his fellowship to Witness Lee, Francis.
Well, I think we can talk about that because Brother Lee was certainly faithful to all the co-workers and those under his instruction in being careful in this matter that there would not be any opportunity for the lust of the flesh to distract a person from being useful in the Lord's service. And he certainly has helped all of us to realize that we should practice this kind of restriction and kind of observation, that we would not be putting ourselves in a position where we would be apt to be tempted. And Samson's problem was not that he had that desire. It was the fact that he was careless. He was not aware of what the dangers were, and he even fed the lust by his different behaviors. And the kind of help that Brother Lee has given and he got from Watchman Nee is a real protection for any who would serve the Lord to avoid this kind of lustful contact. In seeking a wife, that's one thing. But in seeking just a vessel to satisfy the lust of the flesh is really a very, very deep and damaging, sinful thing. So we've been warned many times again and again, not only by Brother Lee, but actually from the Bible itself and so many references in the New Testament in which fornication and other kinds of sins are mentioned, fornication always being at the top of the list. Yeah. It really brings our attention to the fact that this is a number one urge in man that causes many to have a downfall. I was impressed, Chris, in reading about the beginning of Billy Graham's campaign, mm-hmm. when he and his co-workers together formed kind of a team for preaching the gospel. They together made a clear understanding with one another and with themselves that they would never drive in a car with a woman alone, and they would never be in a closed room with a woman alone. And this protected his reputation throughout all the years of his ministry, and I think was a real source of his blessing in the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
It's true that hundreds of thousands have come to the Lord to know him as their Savior, but many times the very ones that were brought to the Lord in a good birth, even like you would say Samson was, yet later the lusts of the flesh overpower them,
right,
and it ruins their testimony. So Brother Lee's help to us has been a very, very protective thing during all these years.
Interesting that similarly these two co-workers or two workers for the Lord's interests in the 20th century had a very similar word, Billy Graham to his co-workers, Watchman Nee here shepherding his now young co-worker, Witness Lee, in the early days. Nearly the same message, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, we obviously have to take it that there's something here for us all to be instructed by.
Yes.
In this last segment, we'll see Witness Lee really turn and apply this word to the situation, especially among the young people and in our Western culture in America. And, of course, where you and I sit, Francis, here in the heart of Southern California, maybe no place on earth where it is a word that is so desperately needed. And I have a teenage and now in their early 20s children. And this is a constant matter in our family, and I think it is in many others who have young teenagers, and now even sub-teens. It's a problem. So we need to open and receive this kind of word from a brother in the Lord who has a lot of wisdom and saw a lot over the years, and we need to heed this warning.
And I have the same burden even for my grandchildren.
Yeah. Let's go back to Witness Lee, Francis.
God created man in male and female. God ordained the marriage. Hebrews 13 says the marriage should be honored by everybody because it is by marriage that mankind can continue to exist on this earth and replenish the whole earth. This was God's ordination. Human beings were created by God in the way to have marriage. So God created a kind of need, a marriage, a desire to get married is not sinful. That is exactly what God ordained. Anyhow, I'd like to say a word to you all, especially to you sisters. Always trying not to be so close to another sex. If you are a young girl, don't get yourself so close to any young man. Number one. Number two, always not keep yourself so open. Concerning the dressing, I'd like to ask you to read 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, with the three notes there. Adorn themselves in proper clothing, not only wear with clothes, but with modesty. I'm not teaching you Muslim practice. But I surely know what I'm telling you. This is for your safeguard, so this may offend you. But I cannot agree with the American practice, young men, young girls, they just open to each other. It's too much. It's too much. You have to keep a kind of shame. Female shame. Female shame is a beauty and virtue of a female. Parents, you should educate your girls in this way. Just keep these few little items. You'll be protected.
Francis, I can say from my own testimony, Witness Lee loved this country very deeply and was very appreciative to the Lord for all the freedom that we have in this country to allow the gospel and the practice of our Christian faith so openly and freely. But at the same time, he realized that this had also brought in some very serious damaging things, particularly in the culture and society. And so he was willing to offend to make this point. He felt very strongly on this, didn't he?
He certainly felt very strongly on this. And we realize that his warning is really needed for all of us, that we would keep ourselves unspotted from the world and unspotted from the lust. And this seems to be at the top of the list in all of the prohibitions and the warnings concerning all kind of sinful things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to this last point on the miserable history of Israel's forsaking God, we see that this is the key point we need to be aware of, especially among the young people, but even among all of us. There is this need for awareness that God made us in the way he did for a purpose. And if we keep ourselves under God's headship and recognizing, first of all, that God is really our husband and we as the church are his bride, how can we be a bride to Christ if we've indulged in all these things and then come to him at the end expecting that everything is clear and no problem? No, we have to realize that the Lord does forgive us. Every sin is under the blood of Christ, but there still is an effect of sin that would limit our being able to enjoy our husband to the full. God's intention is that we would be the ones who overcome all of this kind of thing and keep ourselves purely for him, always under his authority, under his power, and under his strength. How can we exercise any strength if we don't have any of our own? Mm-hmm. Surely we don't. So we need the Lord to be our life, our strength, and our purity.
Well, Francis, on a few occasions we've touched this point in the ministry of Witness Lee as we've gone through the life studies that he gave. But I think this time it has a particular ring to it. And I hope that all of the ones listening, young and old, and as you said, all of us, we would take this word very, very much to heart and sow these words into our heart, that the Lord could bring them back to us in a very fresh remembrance whenever we're found in a situation where the enemy could bring a temptation. Thank you for your fellowship, your experience, and your kind and loving heart in this matter.
Well, I really appreciate being with you on this program, Chris, and I especially would encourage all the listeners to get the copies of these messages in the books that are available.
It is the life study of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, three books in one volume. If you'd like to find out about it, please contact us to our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs consist of excerpts from Witness Lee's spoken ministry, along with our discussion and comments, and all focusing on God's heart's desire that we would enjoy Christ as the divine life for man. There are more than 1,700 programs like this one available online, free of charge, that you can download, stream live, or add to your podcast subscription. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. That's lsmradio.com. You can also reach us by email, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.